Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Common sense. It's not so common anymore.
That's why we need Scott Inez more than ever.
It's time for Inez Says.
Hey there, I welcome you back to the Inez Says Podcast. Thanks for being here. You can find the podcast in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, of course, right there on the front page of the WDBO app and WDBO.com. And I invite you to join me every single weekday morning, Orlando's Morning News with Scott Inez, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580 in Orlando. Be sure to stream us right there in the WDBO app. Okay, today here on the podcast, let's talk politics with Brian Kilmeade. You get to hear the Brian Kilmeade Show every weekday after us, 9 to noon on WDBO. And let's begin today with his recent interview with independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Here's that chat now with Brian Kilmeade. Brian, the thing I like about this guy is that he'll speak with Fox News, he'll speak with CNN, anybody who will have him, and he'll give straight answers. Now, you may not like his answers, but he answers the questions genuinely. Is there any one thing from your interview with him yesterday that kind of stood out above the rest, Brian?
A couple of things. Number one, he definitely has a presence about him. You know, when you're with people, whether it's an athlete, an actor, or a politician, you go, okay, I like what they say. They don't really have a presence. It doesn't mean they're not going to be great. I'll give you an example, like Rick Scott, extremely productive, but Senator Rick Scott is not the most charismatic guy, but all he does is work.
Yeah.
But RFK's got an unbelievable presence, a wide swath of knowledge, but a couple of things after the interview, you know, when I'm with three other people, it's brutal with follow-up questions, but he said, I'm going to fight chronic diseases. How? You know, I mean, how do you fight chronic diseases? Everybody's against cancer, lupus. You know, what do you do? Like, what are we doing wrong? He threw that out. Hey, listen, it's an issue. People resonate, but what are you going to do about it? I thought it was interesting where he said, you know, I used to thought President Trump's words at the border were brutal. I had no patience for it. And then I see what happens. I've been there three times. I went there myself and I've changed my mind. I found out that Trump was right. Wow. You never hear that. And number two is he's really ticked off about Secret Service. On and off camera. You know, he was 14 years old when his dad was gunned down.
Sure.
I have no idea what the Secret Service protection was at that point, but at least they were there. You know, Rosie Grier, the football player turned actor, was the one who had to tackle Sirhan Sirhan. So, you know, he definitely feels it when he's out there. He's like, you know, is this going to happen again? And he couldn't believe Joe Biden with his dad's bust on his desk was like, no. And did he seriously say no? Probably not. But could he have easily said yes personally? Yes. So, you know, he is all over the place. He did pick his most left-wing running mate possible, the one tried to keep Gascon in office. He had no explanation for that, except for that he said helped got rid of Bodine. But she also backs Pete Buttigieg. There's nothing Republican or moderate about her. Mm-hmm. So your first decision was to the left. And guess who that helps? Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So if his first decision was not Liz Cheney, because she's so extreme, but if it was somebody who is not on board, Brian Kemp or somebody like that, not on board with Trump but a conservative, I'd say, look out, Trump. They're coming for your people. But right now with his decisions, and also he likes a lot of the new Green Deal, which sickens me. So how could you possibly, if you're a Republican, vote for him? So that's why I think he really – there's a desk right now and a whole division with Joe Biden just attacking third-party candidates, third-, fourth-, and fifth-party candidates. And he gets 12-15%, so it is real.
This is why the Biden campaign is attacking Kennedy. But he is getting on more and more of these state ballots here, Brian. I know he's polling at about 12% right now. You need 15% to get on the debate stage. Do you think he can get there?
I don't know if there's going to be a debate stage. Do you really think that Joe Biden, I think it's 50-50 or 40, let's say 30% chance, because Joe Biden is trailing in every battleground state, and except for Wisconsin, where they're tied. And now Nevada, he's losing by four is Biden. And North Carolina, he wants to take. He's trailing in the Wall Street Journal poll. I have it right here. I don't know if you have it. And it doesn't matter. I know it's not a vote, but it tells you where we're at. I mean, if Trump was down by 10, believe me, this would be a big deal. Pennsylvania, Trump up by 3. Michigan, Trump up by 3. I thought it would be bigger. Arizona, Trump up by 5. Georgia, Trump up by 1. That surprises me. Nevada, Trump up by 4. North Carolina, Trump up by 6. Wisconsin, 46-46. So this is an interesting snapshot. You know, I'm really surprised about Georgia because I thought that was trending in the president's direction. Now, I'm looking at Florida. This abortion thing is a big deal. As usual, I mean, people in Ohio, it's got to become a red state. But remember, that referendum on abortion passed, allowing, I guess, 12, 15 weeks. Same thing in Kansas. How red is Kansas? Very red. But what happened on the referendum? It brought people to the polls, and it skewed some elections. Now, you guys are red, no question. And DeSantis has earned that. Rick Scott laid the groundwork. DeSantis has knocked it out of the park, and people have moved to you guys, right? Mm-hmm. Republicans said, I want to go there now, more than ever. But if you put abortion on the ballot, I mean, for DeSantis, and even though people listening to us right now are extremely pro-life, but do you want to lose elections? As Marco Rubio said, I'm pro-life, but Florida isn't. I'm saying leave it at 15 weeks. And he did, and he won. And now you guys are down to 6 weeks, and that's going to be on the ballot. That's going to bring people out. And will that put it in play? The Biden people now think Florida is in play. I trust your knowledge more than me. Everybody's outsiders there. Although I do have a house in Ponte Vedra, so I consider myself a part-time resident. So I just think you have a better handle on it. But now that really makes Florida a battleground.
I think you're right. I think abortion, not only abortion, but this recreational marijuana thing being on the ballot certainly kind of trims the gap a little bit. Yeah, recreational marijuana will also be on the ballot in November. So I think it trims the gap. But there are so many people who have moved to Florida of the red variety, if you will, that I think that the conservatives, the Republicans, will come out on top in November. Speaking of that, we did have four more primaries yesterday: New York, Wisconsin, Connecticut, Rhode Island. I mean, it was a foregone conclusion, right, that it was going to be Biden Trump 2.0. But we did again, Brian. We saw a fair number of uncommitted votes, especially on the Democrat side. And I do wonder: is this a byproduct of, you know, unhappiness with the candidate or the candidates? Is it the Mideast? Because uncommitted votes continue to rear their heads in this race, especially on the Democrat side here.
He's terrible. I mean, look, he's just terrible. It's not a matter of Democrat or Republican. The whole, look at the Middle East right now. Look at Europe right now. Look at South and Central America. Look at our border. And he wants to trumpet the economy, but people are upset about inflation. It's not, you know, a Republican-Democrat thing. You can't say that, well, I took over the pandemic. Yeah, but you had two mammoth spending bills that came out. The rescue plan was not needed. The Inflation Reduction Act was unnecessary. And then you did infrastructure with a handful of Republican votes. So that's money we didn't have. So we're looking at all this, and now inflation goes up. So now people, let's say in their 20s or 30s, say, really, I thought I'd be out of an apartment by now, or I thought I'd be out of my mom's house by now. Well, why aren't you buying it? Well, because interest rates are 6%. It doesn't make any sense. Well, because people don't want to sell because their interest rate's so low. And then when you go to buy, you go, is this making sense? I'm 29 years old, just got married. Should I jump in now at this rate, or my down payment no longer suffices? Especially in Florida. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's real. You guys, people think, well, Florida is zero state tax, but look at your property taxes.
Yeah,
they're extremely high. So when you do that and you're trying to break in, people are ticked off. And, you know, I know these are rich country problems, but we had a certain cadence to our lifestyle for the last, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Low interest rates, good opportunity to buy and improve, get your, refinance your house, extend your house, your property. And now all of a sudden we're frozen. We are totally frozen unless you have cash.
And I know in Connecticut and Rhode Island, the uncommitted number broke 10% yesterday, while uninstructed registered voters just slightly below 10% in Wisconsin on the Democrat side as well. And to your point earlier, sure. I mean, if I'm Joe Biden's handlers, man, I keep him so far away from a debate stage, it'll make your head spin. There is no way this guy is going to debate Donald Trump and or RFK Jr. this election season.
Well, I'll bring this up. You know, he can scream his way through things. And, you know, Trump is not, you know, Senator John Thune in terms of coolness under pressure. He'll get angry, too. But this is the problem. People say, well, my problem with Trump, he's going to lie. Really? Who's the one who said, I never knew anything about my son's overseas business dealings? Who's the one who says, I never have done business in China, nor has anyone in my family?
Right.
Who's the one who brought up Russia after it's already been debunked? I mean, this guy came up with so many ridiculous statements, and, you know, Chris Wallace did not help. And that was, and then they didn't have the foreign policy debate where the president couldn't talk about Abraham Accords or what was happening, you know, what was happening with NATO paying more of their fair share. So the president got sick. He had actually had COVID during the first one. So the other thing the president does, what do you want to do? If he's trailing in all these battleground states and the numbers are real, their internals are real, that's the only thing that gets him to do it. Now, if RFK's on the stage, more of a traditional debater who struggles to speak, he really does. You know, he doesn't stutter. He has, you know, it is a strain to speak. So he's got to be quick and concise on the stage. But he certainly has a different type of depth than we're used to seeing. So both those other guys go for headliners. And you know, if you look at Joe Biden's debate, even with Paul Ryan when he was vice president, he's a yeller, screamer. That's never the way. This RFK is like, well, I'll give you an idea of the makeup of a vaccine, breaking down to the elements. I could also tell you about a stream in Colorado that needs to be, you know, reconfigured or repurposed. So he goes in much. It would be very interesting to see all three. And I think Trump might be a little frustrated because he wants, you know, he'd want to go directly at Biden.
Thanks to Brian Kilmeade for the conversation here on the Inez Says podcast today. That's going to wrap it up for the podcast. Join me on the radio every weekday morning, Orlando's Morning News with Scott Inez, 5 to 9 a.m. on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. I'll see you next time.